I'd like to call to order the Board of Commissioners regular session Thursday, January 29th, 2015 at 7:03. Second item on the agenda is Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Braun?
Here.
Carabelli?
Present.
Dougie?
Present.
Flynn?
Here.
Kleinfeld?
Here.
Marino?
Here.
Myjack?
Here.
Miller?
Here.
Sabatini?
Here.
Sauger?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Toco?
Here.
Fosberg?
Here.
Invocation by Commissioner Andre Dougie. I think he has a special guest he'd like to introduce.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. This evening, the invocation will be done by Father Daniel Shaikowski, who is pastor of Immaculate Conception Church and administrator of Immaculate Conception Schools in Warren. I want to thank Father Daniel very much for making the trip in this wild weather and coming out here today. Father.
Let us pray. Dear wise Father, first let me say thank you on behalf of all who are here gathered today. Thank you for the many and abundant blessings. Thank you for life itself, for the measure of health we need to fulfill our callings, for the sustenance and for the friendship. Thank you for the ability to be involved in useful work and for the honor of bearing appropriate responsibilities. Thank you for loving us. In the scriptures, you have said that citizens ought to obey the governing authorities, since you have established those very authorities to promote peace and order and justice. Therefore, I pray to you, Lord, for all here present, Macomb Board Commissioners, and asking that you would be graciously to grant them first wisdom to govern amid the conflicting interests and issues of our times, a sense of welfare and true needs of our people, confidence in what is good and fitting, the ability to work together in harmony even when there is honest disagreements, personal peace in their lives and joy in their task. I pray, Lord, for the agenda set before them today and throughout this year that we're beginning. Please give an assurance of what would please you and what would benefit those who live and work in and around this county. It is in your most blessed name I pray, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God bless you and thank you, and Mr. Henry, thank you.
Thank you, Father. Slava Jesus Christo.
Thank you, Father. Adoption of the agenda, moved by Marino, supported by Carabelli. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The agenda is adopted. Approval of minutes dated 12-18-14, 1-12-15, and 1-22-15. Moved by Brown, supported by Dugier. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Public participation. Any members of the public wishing to speak? Going once, going twice, going three times. Public participation is closed. Correspondence from the executive. So, commissioners, on pages 1, 2, and 3, you'll have the memo that was sent from Executive Hackle in regards to the organizational plan. And as you'll read, there wasn't necessarily an organization plan attached to this. And we have a charter constitutional responsibility to hold a public hearing within 50 days and approve or reject with or without amendment within 75 days. And so we sent back a letter, a memo, which is on page 2, that asked them, even though you may not have any proposed changes, please send us the organizational plan that was last updated, because, you know, we need to have a public hearing on a document, as well as have the ability to approve it or reject it with or without amendment. And so I asked for that, And then on page three, we got this correspondence back from the executive, which said he's sent in under the organizational plan, but still there was no document, the one that existed back in 2011. So probably tomorrow morning we're going to ask them with an attached document to clarify, is this the document that you're proposing as your organizational plan, so we actually have it. Not sure if any commissioners had any questions, suggestions about how I go about this, but I personally feel that we need to have a document that we know is the proposed organizational plan. Commissioner Marino?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I would certainly agree that I would like to see the actual organizational plan in front of us. However, my question is, when does the clock actually start? By submission of this memo, or if we deem this inappropriate as the organizational plan, when one is hopefully submitted to us?
It's a tricky question because, you know, we've never had this situation before. I'm having our independent counsel look at when the time actually starts on this. In my interpretation, though, just to be conservative, to be cautious, I would take the January 28th memo to be when the time probably will start, unless we're advised by counsel otherwise.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions or comments from commissioners on the org plan memos? Seeing none, motion to receive and file. Moved by Marino, supported by Smith. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The correspondence are received. Health and Human Services and Economic Development flowed into the Finance Department without objection to waive the reading of the minutes.
So moved.
Without support. Objection. Support by the chair and by the vice chair. Oh, I'm sorry. Commissioner Sabatini.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to separate item number 1 and 6. I'll be voting no on those. I don't know if you need.
We'll separate items 1 and 6 to the remainder of the balance. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The items are passed. On items 1, why don't you read it?
Item 1.
I'll waive to read the actual the minutes. I just wanted it separated to record my no vote.
Got it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Commissioner Sabatini and Commissioner Marino. The item passes. On 6. Got it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Sabatini and Marino. The finance report is completed. Amendment to the 2015 meeting schedule. So where this comes from is that I know Commissioner saw the calendar that was passed out that didn't necessarily have any conflicts on certain Mondays, but the calendar that people offload their items to us in November and December, as well as other conferences or things that might be on those dates, did pose some conflicts. And so Commissioner Sabatini amended the calendar at the organizational meeting, and so the HHS was put on the first Monday. All I'm requesting is that on the second week of meetings that we meet, that HHS be put on that.
Mr. Chairman.
Yep. Ms. Commissioner.
I'd like to have this resolution tabled for today because we are in discussions about what we can do to combine meetings and see if we can actually cut down on having to come up 4 days versus 3 days. I understand Commissioner Sabatini's concern, and we're trying to work through it. I'm not comfortable with setting this in stone at this point in time.
Okay. Is that a motion to postpone to next month?
Motion to postpone.
To next month?
Yes.
Is that supported by Commissioner Vosburg? Supported by Commissioner Smith. So on the motion to postpone till next full board?
Till next full board meeting, please.
Perfect. Commissioner Vosburg, did you have any questions?
I guess it can be postponed, but I was going to offer an amendment. And that would be to move the HHS committee from that Monday to the second Wednesday, and then move the finance meeting from the second Wednesday to the second Thursday at 9 o'clock. If we don't want to vote, if
maybe we could work on this
in the postponement, that could be considered
because nothing will change in February. So we have a motion and support, and Corp Counsel advises me we need to vote on the postponement first. And if that passes, it's postponed. If it fails, then we'll take up your amendment. Commissioner Sabatini on the postponement?
Yeah, just in regards to the postponement, so the February 9th, what would be the meeting date for February?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, okay. So postponement from March through the rest of the year is
yep.
What?
And I know HHS already has a decent agenda already planned. On the postponement, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We will postpone and take this up next month. Board's chair report. So current issues, obviously, Martha Tiberi, they'll speak later at the agenda. Campus renovations and retiree health care. Just as a friendly reminder to commissioners, going in February, that's when the votes will start taking place. I placed the calendar on your desk as a friendly reminder so everybody understands when the next presentation will be or when votes will be on the specific items. Finance Director, we were supposed to have an update from the Executive Office this month. Our meeting last Wednesday got extremely long, and the Deputy Executive had to leave. So we've rescheduled that to give a status update at the first finance meeting in February. I know we've been without a finance director since the beginning of September, and the Executive Office would kind of like to give the board an update at this time. Jail needs meeting. Obviously, when we're going through this capital project stuff, the jail does play a part in that. Deputy Executive Delden, Commissioner Vosburg, Chair JPS, and myself met with the sheriff this afternoon, had a few ideas of how we can move forward. Commissioner Vosburg, would you like to speak to that?
I guess what we could report out is the sheriff had some other ideas and wanted to consider hiring a consultant to get some additional information, and so we will see that coming forth soon. I don't have any other details about that, but as a way to perhaps have the building last, be used longer than we were at first anticipating.
And the sheriff, since we pumped about $7 million into the facility, thinks there is some more longevity within the tower now that there's going to be annexed more beds. Maybe look at a more economical, a more reasonable approach rather than new construction. Looking to do a study on what we can do within that facility or adjacent property. And he'll be presenting that to the commission in coming months. I think Commissioner Vosburg and I thought it was a good idea maybe to have the JPS committee meeting at the jail to take a tour so commissioners can see that up front. So that will be coming probably not next month, but the month after. President's Day will be closed. Green Schools program, we're starting to receive the applications, which are due March 1st. The ceremony is at the ISD on April 1st. I think we did a good job last year of compacting the program within an hour, and we're trying to even enhance it this year. April is County Government Month. Volunteer recognition is in its planning stages. And I know commissioners have a packet. In their packet, there's a hashtag fact snack book drive. Courtney came to me with a good idea for March's reading month for commissioners. Just want to give her an opportunity to kind of talk about that.
So I've been working on putting together a book drive for March's reading month. We're going to have 6 drop-off locations throughout the county. One's going to be here. One will be at the Romeo Library, Fraser Library, New Baltimore Library, Warren Library, and East Point Library. I've spoken with all their directors, and they're okay with us having a drop-off bin. And what I'm hoping to do is get the information out to the schools, and each school, if they want to be considered for a recipient of the books, they have to submit a 300-word essay describing why they're in need of the books and what they do to promote reading within the schools. And then depending on how many people apply and how many books we get, we'll choose at least one school, and then maybe more depending on how many books we get. I'm going to be making flyers and posting them throughout the county, and then if you guys can all you know, just kind of help promote it within your districts, post flyers, hand them out. We'll be putting it on social media, sending it out to the papers, just anything you can to help get the word out. And then I think it was last week I gave everybody a sheet to fill out if you wanted to read to a classroom in your district. So if you want to participate, just fill out that sheet and have it back to me by February 9th so I can make the proper accommodations.
Questions? And then also for Reading Month, we're happy at the board. We want to get as many commissioners into schools as possible. We're happy to coordinate some of those in the school districts. So we'll be sending out forms of dates that commissioners can actually go and read, and then try to work with your local school districts in your district to get you out there to the schools. Any questions? Commissioner Marino?
Through the chair, thank you, Mr. Chair. Courtney, could you say the municipalities?
Could you speak in your mic?
Municipalities?
Yeah,
so Mount Clemens will be here within the building. Romeo, Fraser, Baltimore, Warren, and East Point. Essentially, I just tried to do the four corners of the county and then the center. Just since it's the first year, I didn't want to overstretch. So seeing how things go this year, then we can adjust next year if we need more or less or so.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
In terms of regional events, there's some transit groups that are going on trying to push for the RTA to put something on the ballot in 2016. We have been a part of those, and we'll continue to send those notices out as we get them. The economic forecast, myself, Commissioner Brown, Marino, Myjack, and Miller attended. So it was a good showing. Upcoming events next week, I am going to a pension conference in New York, so Kathy Toko is in charge in case you have any grievances or problems. Call her at any time of the day. On February 6th, I know commissioners have those proclamations that we put, or tributes we put together for the different students in your districts. It'd be nice if as many commissioners could make it as possible. That information is included. Legislative caucus, RSVP to the executive office. It's on February 20th at 12 p.m. The NACO conference in D.C., I will be attending. Commissioner Marino is on a steering committee. I think he'll be there for a couple days. And our MAC representative from Macomb, Commissioner Kleinfeld, will be there for the entire trip. And then on February 26th, if any commissioners are interested, the Detroit Policy Conference, obviously they have their one on Mackinac Island in May or June, but they do a one-day thing here in Metro Detroit. So if any commissioners are interested in going, the board can help or will pay for that. So please let the chair's office know. It's only a one-day event. I think there's a morning session and an afternoon session. And so that's it. Correspondence from the executive you already have. There's some resolutions back there. One from Oakland County. I think a few commissioners there are trying to amend the Great Lakes Water Authority that allows their commission to approve the executive's nomination. That really isn't an issue here for us or the executive because our charter mandates that. That's why we approve that in the RTA, but just wanted to keep the commissioners aware of that. And I met with Courtney this week about the quarterly newsletters that I know some commissioners want to do. She's starting to put that process together, so we have one by the end of this quarter and do them quarterly. So if people have any input or suggestions of how those should be formatted, please pass those along. And I think that covers my board chair report. Commissioner Myjack.
Yeah, I was just wondering, could you elaborate a little bit more, Dave, if you have any information on the regional transit meeting? You mentioned that there might be an upcoming ballot proposal, 2016.
That would be in 2016.
What are some of the details of that? I know
there
early
are,
on
there
that
are
you
many
know
right
of.
Now. They're developing the plan that essentially would be Gratiot through Hall from Detroit up Gratiot through Hall Road to Pontiac, down the city of Detroit, rolling rapid transit, and probably a little tail to the airport. But we'll pass along anything we have and also invite or send the schedule of the RTA meetings to the commissioners in case they are curious in attending those.
Thank you.
And then one other thing that I did forget in the board chair's report is on your desk, Commissioner Brown came to my office the other day, was talking about maybe doing some outreach in the communities, which is something that I did mention in my organizational speech. And this is just purely a draft, obviously up for changes, but we thought a good issue would be in a nonpartisan, non-biased way, trying to go to the different communities and trying to educate them on the proposal that will be on the May 5th ballot for the roads. For the sales tax. And so we came up with possible locations. We can't do 13 of them. It's just too hard to do by now and May 5th. So we tried to pick some central locations, Clinton-Macomb Township, Commissioners Bob Smith and Sabatini, and I know Commissioner Bosberg's a little out of that area, and if she'd be interested, we could probably do one since she does have a huge geographic area. One in Warren with the three commissioners who represent that city, maybe at the community college or the new engineering building there. In northern Macomb, between Commissioner Brown and Carabelli's district at Palazzo Grande. And then one here in Harrison Township, Mount Clemens, and just north of Roseville. And then in Sterling Heights, I know the city council is doing one, so you know myself and Commissioner Myjack might be able to tie into that. And we thought we'd have the commissioners do a general overview of you know why we're doing this, trying to educate people, and then have a you know a non-biased research, the Citizens Research Council, kind of run through the different proposal, you know how it's structured, where the money will go. And then, if possible, have either the Department of Roads or, if you're a city, have your local road department out there to answer any questions. We figured the introduction would be 10 to 15 minutes. The subject matter experts would be 25 to 30 minutes, followed by questions and answers from whoever they have. And, you know, depending on schedules, we can do some of these during the day or some at night. So, before we get into that, this is obviously a draft. We can amend these, we can tailor them to the different areas that people have or when they want to do them, but I want to put something out there so we could start the conversation. Commissioner Marino?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know you and I had also spoken about this. I think this is a great idea. I guess this is probably a question for a corporate counsel, but just to be clear, are there any ramifications with the Michigan Campaign Finance Act? As long as we are not taking a position and it's nonpartisan, we shouldn't be in any violation, correct?
That's correct.
Given that it's a ballot initiative?
Correct.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If not that saying we are, but even if the commission did take a position on this.
I still don't think there would be a problem.
There wouldn't be a problem. Got it.
Thank you.
Commissioner Kleinfeld?
I think we do have to be, you can be very close to taking a position without actually taking one, but with respect to using government facilities and things, my understanding is we cannot take a position while disseminating information that was paid for by taxpayers or using facilities with employees. So
I'll have Corp Counsel look into that and get a memo.
Okay.
And then commissioners, but my intent was to be more informational in nature just so people could understand this proposal.
It's very easy to come so close to taking a position without saying vote yes, so it can be very easily done. And just the other thing real quick, I just, in the board chair's report is the outside attorney fees, and I just want to draw that to the attention of commissioners because it's a year in which there was technically no litigation. That's a concern for me, so I just want commissioners to take note of that. Thank you.
And in there, I think we're still waiting for December's bill, and it does also include us hiring Clark Hill for the Great Lakes Water Authority, which I think was close to $10,000 just for that issue alone. Any other questions, comments? Commissioner Bosberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Regarding the ballot initiative for me, SEMCOG is also has put together some information, and it's their goal to provide information for elected officials to be able to use with their constituency when questions arise. So I'm sure we'll be able to use some of that information for these outreaches.
Has SEMCOG taken a position, or will they?
No, absolutely not.
So maybe we could include them in the presentation on the factual side. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions, comments? Seeing none, need a motion to receive and file. Moved by Marino, supported by Bosberg. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Board's chair report is received. Update on Martha T. Berry medical facility transition. Jennifer Morgan's passed out a concise flyer that has four issues that she'll briefly talk about.
Thank you, Chairman Flynn. There are just four issues, and I will not be long at all. First of all, I wanted to thank you all for inviting me back to give you all an update. And we did not have a payless payday. Everyone got paid, and their payroll system is working fine. So I just want to give that give you all an update regarding the payroll processes with ADP has been working, and we will be transitioning our pay periods, and that will be complete by March. The four things I want to briefly talk about is the 457 Retirement Savings Fund. As I mentioned to you all last month when I presented here, is that we did secure MERS to handle our retirement system for the 457. However, we were, you know, hopeful that we can do a rollover, a plan rollover, so the employees' funds can go over to the new plan. As I understand it, that is not allowable by the current Vanguard or the current county's plan. Secondly, the employees are allowed a cash out as if they were terminated. So the two options that the county plans allows for is either a termination in which they can cash out their funds or leave their funds in the current county plan. However, they're not able to contribute to it anymore. But any amendments or adjustments or changes to the 457 plan with Vanguard, which is Macomb County's plan, it, from my understanding, lies in the county's plan administrator, which is the county's HR director, Eric Herpich. So I can't speak to that plan in detail, but our employees at this point are allowed only two options: to cash out as if they're terminated or leave their money in Vanguard, but they cannot contribute to it anymore and start a complete new plan from $0 in the MERS system. The other issue I just want to briefly talk about is the 2015 budget adjustment. We are, as you know, your board has approved and adopted 2015 budget, which includes internal and indirect cost allocations. So one of the things to consider, which we will probably be having some conversation in the next couple of months, is that right now we have on the budget for 2015 a $627,586 for internal costs, and what will be presented in the near future is to change that allocation from internal costs to either contract services or vendor supplies. The prior year allocation, $935,910. We were informed in the end of December that we are going to be restricted access to those funds. When talking to County Finance, Steve Schmigo, he indicated this is due to a allocation that was given to the facility from the periods of 1994 to 2008. So, therefore, that those funds are going to be restricted. My concern is that there has been no formal action to actually hold those funds or restrict us from those funds. So we're working with County Finance now to understand why the funds from 2014 for reimbursement for services provided in 2014 were held back for something that may have occurred in from 1994 to 2008. So we're still having conversations. Just understand it's a concern for us on that one. And then lastly, information technology, we're moving forward with that, and we have a new target date for completion for February 5th, and we will be completely on our own network at that point in time. Are there any questions?
Any questions from commissioners? Commissioner Miller, and then Bosberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good evening, Jennifer. Thanks for the information.
Yes.
And thanks for all that you're doing to get this institution through this transition. It's not anything that you could have forecasted when you signed up for this job, and we really appreciate that your responsible stewardship, and I think less people would have bolted, and I really appreciate you standing in the gap on this.
Thank you, Commissioner Miller.
Talk a little bit, if you could, about the effect that this has had, if any, on residents. Are they aware of this transition? Is it something that is a topic of conversation among them? And do you have a sense that the residents and, by extension, their families have opinions? Are they troubled by it? And then, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I don't know if you... Absolutely. I think the last quarter of 2014, from September when the articles first hit the paper about the separation from Martha T. Berry Ford. So for several months, it was a really difficult time in the facility for our residents as well as our staff and family members. So we had a very, very trying time. However, to date, as long as the staff, the same, they see the same staff, everyone is getting paid, they have health insurance, so now the conversations are completely different. The impending threat of this huge separation that was presented in the paper, and then they see January 1, that, oh, we're still here, the conversation has now shifted. Are we completely there yet? No, we're not. I think there's still some skepticism with some, especially of some of the staff that have been there for a long time, but I will tell you the conversation is different, the sense is different, the attitude is different, and they realize that we have made it over this deadline date, and we're still there, and we're still providing services. So we are progressively moving forward, and I think that I'm excited about 2015, and the staff is getting excited as well.
I respect your optimism. Now, is there are you at capacity?
We are
for the beds in terms of your.
We are about 96% occupied right now. We have made some huge increases in our Medicare census, which Medicare actually pays a little bit more. So we have made some huge strides, and what that means is that people are actually choosing to come to us, and as opposed to, well, I have nowhere else to go except for the county facility. So now we're getting people who are choosing to come and choosing to stay and get rehab there. So we're getting more rehab, and they're going home and feeling better, and they're being able to be discharged home or to an assisted living. So we're now getting more people to actually choose to be at Martha T. Berry.
So in quarter four of 2014, you have seen new residents come in. I assume that there's a certain amount of turnover with end-of-life situations,
right,
and whatnot, and old vacancies occur. Is there, but there hasn't hindered your ability to bring new clients in or new residents in?
I would say the last quarter of 2014 was extremely difficult. It did affect our occupancy. It affected our staff again, the morale. I mean, there were some huge repercussions. I think once the ink dries.
Talk a little bit about the staff specifically and the morale. That was going to be my next question, but
yes,
this might be a good segue. Talk about that, please.
In 2014, after, you know, I mean, it's been very difficult with all the legal issues and in the paper all the time. It was a concern. And the end of 2014 was very difficult because people were afraid of the unknown. Will we be able to survive come January 2015? And what does it mean when, you know, the in the paper it says full separation and you're not part of the county anymore? So had a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear for residents, staff, and family members, because we have many of them who really remember in 2008 they were, you know, concerned that the building was going to close. So we opened those wounds again, and it was very, very, very difficult. But I will say, in talking to my staff in the last week or so, of course, after payroll and they got their checks and things are moving, they got their new insurance cards and they were able to use it. So trying to temper them and find out how they're feeling now, they're feeling much more comfortable with the changes that have been made, and really the things that they were so afraid of, they now are not afraid of it at all. And I think there's a sense for some employees, not all of them, a sense that we can do many more things if we work together. So I have a change in thought and mindset. Now, again, that's not everybody, and it's never going to be everybody, but there is a new feel and a new view and a new look for the employees at Martha T. Berry.
I appreciate that. Last question, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the latitude. I know that that industry is a high turnover industry in terms of employees, and but so that being said, have you noticed that because of this transition and this uncertainty that there's been have you lost talent, or has it hindered your ability to attract new talent? Has there been any impact, or is it just kind of the same as always, understanding that it's a high turnover industry to begin with?
Absolutely. There has been no significant impact of the changeover for the employees. The turnover is the normal turnover as we would get in the industry. We will be in the first quarter, looking at our positions to see if they're appropriate for 2015, because I don't think there was a lot of adjustments in job titles and job descriptions updates over the last several years. It's very clear that some of those things have not necessarily been done to industry standards. So we're going to be looking at that this year in 2015, of course, staying within budgets. But there has been no significant impact of losing talent because solely of this political issue. We did have a very experienced director of nursing who was hired, and she was very bothered by the political piece, and unfortunately, because of the publicity and because of the politics, as she say, she was not willing to operate in those conditions, because it got to the point where family members, especially when things were really uncertain, we had family members and staff, you know, under the impression that if we don't do exactly what they want to do, they, you know, are trying to take sides with, you know, because it was very divisive. This whole political thing was very divisive. So that became a huge issue, and we were not able to really do our job the way we really needed to do it. But many of us stormed through it. However, we did lose someone who had many years of experience and would have been a great asset to the facility, who decided to leave because of the political impact and the divisiveness that was going on that affected her doing her job as well as she thought she could do it.
Thank you. I appreciate the information. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Vosburgh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair to Jennifer. Can you... give me why the transition on the 457 plan. What was the reason for doing that, or to move out of
the current Vanguard?
Mm-hmm.
That was not necessarily our choice. We were told that the employees are terminated, so therefore they are out of Vanguard. The board made some amendments to the pension plan, so we were able to stay in the pension plan. But the 457 plan is a totally different plan in itself, and we were instructed that the employees were terminated, so therefore upon termination they could either cash out or leave their money in the Vanguard, but they cannot contribute to it anymore. So because those are the options we were given, we had to provide another plan that employees can contribute to.
Okay. Mr. Chair, why can that decision, I'll ask you, the three or whoever you want, can that decision just be made unilaterally that?
We're looking into it, and I just had a conversation with the Corp Council. But basically, I mean, this is good timing to understand this, is the 457 has a trust plan articles that basically are reflective of the one we're looking at for the intermediate trust that lay out what they can or cannot do. And it's my understanding at this time, you know, we can always amend that document as it moves forward, but it's my understanding, and Jennifer, you can correct me if I'm wrong, or Corp Counsel, is that the HR director as the administrator can just make that choice administratively and transfer those funds. Is that correct?
What I understand, I talked to Eric Herpich this evening as well, and he made it very, very clear that the decisions, it lies within the plan administrator.
Which is him.
Any amendments, changes, revisions, it's something that, as long as it's within the IRS guidelines, those changes will lie upon the HR director, which is the plan administrator. So the details of the plan, I'm not versed enough, or I am not the appropriate person to talk about the Vanguard plan, because it's not my plan. It's the county's plan that is administered by Eric Herpich. So all those questions or any concerns with that, he will be definitely the one to answer why or why not regarding the plan document and what we can and cannot do.
John.
I don't disagree with any of that. The plan is the county's plan. Eric is the administrator of the plan. Eric is the administrator of the plan. The plan is the county's plan. Vanguard would not release funds on anyone else's request or anyone else's word other than the plan administrator.
Okay.
Okay, but I guess it leads to what I'm getting at is why does the plan administrator want to remove those that set of employees from the plan?
Or just transfer.
That I have no answer for that. I don't know.
Okay, that's the bottom line of my question. So you're getting information on that?
Yes.
Chair Flynn, thank you.
Commissioner Sauger?
Yeah, I'm just curious, Jennifer. I thought I heard, some people will have a choice to opt out of the plan they're in now and get into whatever we decide or whatever is decided they can get into for retirement. Is that the way I get it, or am I wrong?
Let me clarify. The 457 plan right now the county has is with Vanguard, and according to the information I told, is that the current plan document does not allow for plan-to-plan transfers or rollovers, is what we are familiar with. It does not allow for that. And the decision of the decision of the HR department was to terminate the employees. So in the plan document, if someone is terminated from employment, then they can actually choose to cash out. So whatever assets they have in that plan, they can get a check for it. And if they decide to stay in the plan, for example, if they have vested or they have stayed, they can stay in their plan. The money will stay at Vanguard, with Vanguard to handle. However, they cannot contribute to it anymore. So whatever they have as of December 31st, 2014 in there, whether it's $500 or $5,000, they can't contribute anything else to that plan. So new employees or existing employees who still want to contribute to build up their retirement, they have to start with a brand new plan, which is with MERS, the 457. So essentially, employees will have two plans if they choose to. One with Vanguard that they have to stop contributing to as of December 31st, 2014, and then a brand new plan that starts with $0 and 0 cents effective January. So they will have two plans as opposed to building on what they've already, accumulated over time. So those are the two options that I understand that are that we were told that are available, but transfer is not.
What I'm concerned about is that the way times are now, if people get a check, they get their check from the retirement, we're all done with it now, but they're going to still be back into the county working. It's like people want to buy some service time. We can't force them to leave that, put that check back in the county or reinvest, so they start like on the bottom of the totem pole again as a retiree, as an employee. And by the time the people that are in that stage, by the time they retire, they only contribute so much into the retirement system.
Correct. That's our concern as well. Our hope was they could stay in the current plan and we can just take the deductions and send the check over to, county HR. However, that's not an option for us at this point. It's not our plan. We can't make the decisions. There's nothing that we can do. We have to, unfortunately, this is what we were given. I have some concerns, of course, that I've expressed, but we're not the plan administrators. Vanguard is not going to do what, we ask them to do. It's the plan administrator, and that's Eric who can make those decisions.
That's going to be a big financial concern for us here in the county.
Well, for the employees, I think it's a huge deal because, if they have to start off with $0, on January 1 with a new company, which is fine, but it doesn't have the strength that it will have in being able to make more money.
But 90% of those that it would cash out to get that check, they're going to use it for something.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
They're going to, yes, absolutely.
Okay. They're going to roll it back to another tax-deferred plan.
Many of them, my concern is many of them won't. Most of our staff are...
No, they can't. They'll be
Commissioner Brown, Commissioner...
Sure will.
Commissioner Sauger has the floor.
They sure will.
I thought I was talking, but I guess I'll quit and let the rest take over from here. I'm just giving you my opinion, asking some questions. I didn't want any comments yet. And I appreciate what you said. It's going to be a bugger, okay? I know there's ramifications one way or another, but yes. Thank you very much for your explanation.
And that's our concern. Our concern is that, you know, we want to be able to protect them, and you're right. Most employers would use it for other purposes instead of rolling it over to somewhere else, taking the check and move it. But still, that disbursement itself, in itself, may come with some additional taxes or penalties, or may not. I don't know the plan document completely, but they do have a choice to take that check, cash it out, and put it somewhere else, but most of our staff may not necessarily exercise that option.
Good luck, Jennifer.
Thank you,
Jennifer. Commissioner Sabatini?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good evening, Jennifer. In regards to that 457, I can understand your concerns. They're obviously on the cash outside because the employee, or I guess now the terminated employee, would have some tax ramifications there. I've never heard of a plan that, you know, even based on termination or resignation, that wouldn't allow you to either cash out or roll over the funds. News to me. But what you said, though, in regards to the administrator issue, that was really striking to me. And I just want to I think we should look into that more as a board. Andrew, I don't know if we can take a peek at that, because I don't think that and I don't know all of our plans, if HR is the administrator. I would think that the finance director would be the administrator of these types of plans, but I'm not sure.
There's a trust document that we, you know, became familiar with today. I actually haven't seen it, but I think it was passed in the 90s, and it says the county will appoint somebody to be its administrator, and apparently at some point in time the county appointed the HR director to that.
Okay.
Administrator. The county could pick anybody to be the administrator.
Who has the right to pick the administrator? Is that under the OCE? Is that under the board?
Honestly, we just saw it today. We're having Scott look into it. But I'm looking into also who has the ability to amend the trust, because it's similar to the intermediate trust we're passing or the retirement ordinance. I mean, those things can be changed at any point in time.
Okay.
Your question is actually very interesting, because the original nomination of the HR director was pre-charter, pre-executive form of government, when the county was the Board of Commissioners. With the current form of government, quite honestly, I don't have an answer right this second. Would require some research as to who or how a redesignation of another individual to be the plan administrator would be carried forth.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we're looking into it, because that just struck me as something that was interesting there. Next question I had was, Jennifer, with the indirect cost, the allocation. I know we were kind of going through the numbers and getting some understanding of that. I thought we would have more of like a surplus with the cost savings relative to the allocations, and now you're saying that would be used for vendors and it's being reallocated somewhere else. Can you just explain a little bit more?
Sure, absolutely. With the indirect cost allocations, for example, we pay almost $200,000 for IT services. Well, if we're going to have our own network and our own server and our own company to provide those services, then we're going to have to pay the vendor what we would have normally paid the county. We will probably see a cost savings, but not 2015. There's a lot of expenses of getting things going, so there's going to be a lot of there's going to be an excessive amount of costs in 2015 as opposed to 2016 or 2017. So we're shifting those costs. The budget will stay the same essentially. We're just moving it from internal costs to contract services or payroll, because there's clearly some positions we have to hire for. For example, we will need a controller that, you know, finance handled some of our things in the past. We did some things in finance to handle some things, but since that's not the case anymore, I'm going to have to hire a controller. So the indirect cost allocation for finance, well, now that's going to go towards salaries, fringes, and benefits for a FTE to handle some of those tasks that the county handled for us in the past.
Are you going to have to spend some funds on, like, capital expenditures? You said IT, computers, servers. What's your plans with that?
Yes. We are planning to complete everything for the installation for the infrastructure by February 5th. We have purchased computers since 2010, and I guess those 2010 computers probably are ready for an upgrade, but
probably.
We have been purchasing some along the way. We are going to have some more expenditures. But we're not going to be able to look at hardware issues or needs until we have our software pieces up and running. We have incurred some additional costs that were not necessarily in the original quote for services that we had in 2014 when we first put it out for bid. One is there were a couple of delays that we had with coordinating county IT and our vendor and AT&T. So there were some confusions of with county IT giving access to the vendor to make those configurations and changes and working with AT&T. So we did have to incur additional costs. And we will have a better sense after the 5th. That's the probably the third deadline date that we have gotten from Sandy Jurek's office. So we're hopeful that that is the final date. If not, then we may have to incur additional costs to do things ourselves from scratch instead of we had some issues with getting the configurations and network switches from county and having them get some access. So we're hopeful that the 5th will be the 5th, and we won't incur any other installation costs. So we'll still have to see what happens with the hardware as we complete this first step.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Vosburgh on round two.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to go back to the 457 plan again. Did through the Chair to Corporation Council, on the 457 plan, did the plan administrator consult with your office for assistance in any of the determinations that were made?
No, this is first that I've heard of the issue.
All right. Thank you. And so we are going, the questions that were asked of the commissioners regarding this plan, we'll get a follow-up report on that,
we will.
Mr. Chair.
Yep, and we can also send out or put it in the commissioner's mailbox. Once we find the most updated version of the 457 trust document.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Commissioner Marino?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Or I guess this would be for Jennifer. How much of a lag time was there between the termination from the Vanguard Fund and establishing the new 457 under MERS?
The 457 plan was established, I want to say November, December of last year, with the understanding that we thought that of December 31st, that the employees can roll over, their funds. The last couple of weeks, there have been several conversations with HR, Martha Tiberi HR and County HR, to try to figure this out. However, my last conversation with Eric today was what I communicated with you all. So the 457 is open for new employees who have not contributed to the Vanguard. They're taking the benefit of it. They're signed up. They're ready to go. However, we have all of our employees who filled out rollover information and submitted it, and we did not realize until Vanguard, Vanguard says they're not rolling over, and that's when we start asking questions of why not. You know, we've done all this, we submitted the paperwork, and individuals have already signed off to roll over, and that is when we start asking more questions, and that's when we found out the new information.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, if I may, my biggest concern is with the lack of a rollover option there, if someone was forced to liquidate their position in their previous retirement account and there was a large time lapse and then a market fluctuation and then they were to reinvest in the new 457, theoretically they could take a 5% hit or a 5% gain, theoretically. It could be detrimental to their actual retirement balance, correct?
Well, I cannot speak to the Vanguard or the plan document. I will leave that to the plan administrator, Eric Herpich. So I can't speak to that because I don't even know how it's really set up. It really surprised me with some of the restrictions it had. So I cannot speak to that. So I would defer to him 100% on that. That is what our concern is as well. As you know, MERS is more portable. And you can take it to any municipality in the state of Michigan. However, as I understand that the 457 does not necessarily have the same flexibility that MERS does. And again, that confirmation has to come from Eric.
Thank you.
Corp Council has anything to say on that, I don't know.
Anything else? Seeing no other conversation, motion to receive and file.
So moved.
Moved by Marino, supported by Toko. Any discussion? Seeing none, thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Any new business before the commission? Commissioner Sauger, I told him at the beginning of the meeting, and I forgot. He wanted to have a moment of silence or say a few words about an old friend of his who just passed away, who was a judge here in the county.
I think you're all familiar with Judge Larry Zatkoff, who was a probate judge and then a circuit judge. In 1986, the president elevated him to federal judge. And he was down in Detroit, and he went up to Port Huron, and he was a good friend of a lot of people in the county and people in law enforcement. So I want to just bring that to your attention. You may have seen that in the paper, but he was a great guy, and God bless him. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any other new business before the board? Seeing none, public participation. Any members of the public going once, going twice, going three times? Public participation is closed. Roll call.
Commissioner Brown?
Here.
Carabelli?
Here.
Dugy?
Present.
Flynn?
Here.
Kleinfeld?
Here.
Marino?
Here.
Majak?
Here.
Miller?
Here.
Sabatini?
Here.
Sauger?
Yes.
Smith?
Here.
Tocco?
Here.
Vosburgh?
Here.
Motion to adjourn by Smith, supported by Commissioner Dugy. All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Meeting adjourned. Thank you.